Hello and welcome to the Quest for the Good Life with Dr. Mike Strauss. This is going to be the last episode of 2020. Dr. Strauss, we've received a lot of feedback and a lot of questions about privacy. How are we able to execute all of these intricate, elaborate systems? How are we able to run iLink and yet maintain privacy?
Well, thanks, Ivo. I'll tell you, I am really excited by the number of comments. We've received so many positive comments on all the episodes. And, you know, people know that technology is a must. With COVID and beyond, they now know more than ever before that, you know, the ability to provide support remotely at the moment of need has so many good reasons to do. I mean, just reducing the number of different people involved in care, but being ready to help without being in the way is really super. But, you know, I think what people get down to is they're getting down to the practicalities. Okay, how do you implement it? And I'll tell you something. There's no video blog that's going to tell you how to implement it. You know, this is going to be a high-level discussion. But Good Life and iLink work with every provider to implement this technology. And, you know, my biggest mantra that I say over and over is that we don't provide remote support for you. We teach you how to provide remote support to support the people that you know how to serve in ways that you know how to serve them. And that's really important, a distinction to make. Yeah. And part of us helping people is helping people navigate the issues that may be related to privacy. One of the most commonly asked questions, and I think partly because they associate, you know, remote support with cameras, and cameras are included, not always, but are generally included with remote support. So, you know, people think that, well, if cameras are involved, then there's an invasion of privacy. CMS has standards that we have to abide by, and they're really pretty simple standards. There's no prohibition on the use of cameras, but I don't like to equate remote support with cameras because that's absolutely not true. Because the reality is the first and most important responsibility for remotely supporting people is filtering out needs where we don't need to be supporting people. So if you invade somebody's privacy, it's an unwelcome intrusion into their life. Now, those words are really important, and they're said repeatedly in literature. An unwelcome intrusion is defined by you. So if you were sitting in a car and you were driving down the road and you had OnStar there, that's not really intruding in your life, is it? It's your choice. And so you can press that button and talk to somebody. You decided to do that, right? So that's not an unwelcome intrusion. So I'll say, imagine your daughter coming home at midnight from the prom, and there's been an accident, deer coming out in front of the car and the car hitting it. OnStar doesn't ask. They come in and say, hey, are you okay? Are you okay with that, or do you consider that an unwelcome intrusion? Would you be okay if a camera turned on to check and make sure she was okay, or whether she needed lifelight, or whether she... get a better assessment of what's going on? Would you be okay, or would that be an unwelcome intrusion? And 100% of the people would say, I'm perfectly fine with that. So the truth is, intrusion is individually defined. And the reality is, remote support in many ways is less intrusive than even staff support. And I'll give you an example. I've talked to lots of seniors who don't want somebody in their home sitting on their couch, making them feel uncomfortable about what TV they watch or what they do, waiting there for a need. They find that pretty intrusive. So depending on what somebody's needs are, you're always balancing the need for support versus privacy. If I could go a little further with that example, when somebody has tremendous needs, they don't live in their home anymore. They don't have control over when they go to a skilled living facility. They often don't have a control of when they take their shower, when they get up, when they eat. Their whole life is prescribed.
Yeah.
in that one move of having to go from their normal home to a skilled facility, they've lost most of their liberty, right? So there ought to be something between losing all of your liberty and staying in your home and balancing that with privacy. And I've never asked anybody that didn't agree with that, that, yeah, I'd rather live in my home and have some virtual support, even somebody being present virtually in my home, than losing all of my liberties and going to a more restrictive setting. You know, 4 to 8 people living together is a very popular model. It's a bit congregate care, right? Well, the reason they do that, of course, is that that's the only way that they can staff efficiently. And you're losing a lot of liberty and choice and flexibility as those groups grow larger. Well, with technology, you're able to have smaller settings, right? And have more choice, more flexibility. And technology lets us know when labor needs to be there, especially if you do our neighborhood approach that we've described before. So you can have the best of both worlds. You can have small living arrangements combined with on-demand staffing that's there within minutes of need 24/7 to really allow an individual lifestyle. Because without that, you're going to have to be choosing group homes and congregate facilities because that's the only other way to deliver care when you need it. So what I'm trying to say is that there's a continuum and always a balancing that goes on between the care that you need and your liberty. That is the most common need, is intermittent needs. And that's the most dangerous one because that's where most people say, well, if you have a need only 10% of the time, but we don't know when it is, then you need support 100% of the time. Well, that's not true. That's only true without technology. And so there's lots of elements that you have to look at for balancing care with technology, one of which is, what is the least intrusive, potentially effective solution? I believe that technology fits into that continuum if it's appropriately designed to provide support so that people can live a life that's more independent. So intrusion is an unwelcome event. If it's not unwelcome, it isn't intrusive. So, you know, that's why it's important. And cameras by themselves aren't either intrusive or not, because we have eyes, right? A staff person goes in and they're in a home. We can't tell the staff person to not look at that section of the house. We can't tell them when we're asleep to not look in our drawers. We can ask, but we really don't know what they look at. And there are many people, including a lot of seniors, who are frightened about their loss of their privacy. At the beginning, you can architect technology to see what you want it to see and to not see what you don't want it to see, to be involved to the extent that you want it involved. And you can design it so that you can self-direct it. So even technology, it can be designed and implemented on this continuum of intrusiveness. You design it so that you make it the least intrusive support necessary to allow somebody to live the most independent life possible. None of that would be possible without technology. So we have created this wonderful infrastructure that allows people to really support people in the least intrusive way possible. When you use a call center approach, you don't know who it is and they don't know you. That's why we feel it's important that a provider who has these relationships with people they support are the people who need to work with the technology to support them, not a call center. And it's important, we found, that whoever is virtually supporting somebody, that the person served needs to know who that is. And it's even better if they see them, like I'm seeing you. But it's really important they know who it is and that they have a relationship with them. This is why our neighborhood network, what we call the professional neighbors who help support people, are the same people who virtually support them.
Yeah.
They take turns. And so the idea behind that is that they know Fred because he's the same guy that helps him when he's in the home. So they have the relationship. So therefore, his remote support is not an unwelcome intrusion. But a call, somebody they don't know, would be an unwelcome intrusion. One's a breach of privacy, the other isn't. So basically the same technology can be used by different people, one of which could be a breach of privacy, while the other isn't at all. It depends on the relationships. A very important piece of independence is technology. It's actually the only thing that can deliver independence and get out of the way in ways that's less intrusive than staff presence. And by the way, CMS's guidelines that have nothing to do with technology say you still need to provide places where people can have private conversations. That's important. You don't want to have cameras in areas of a home that people believe are completely private, like bedrooms. We don't provide cameras in bedrooms. But there are people, here's a perfect example, there are people who have such great needs at night that we would have to have staff check on them every 15 or 20 minutes. And every time you check on them, it wakes them up. And that's intrusive. Well, you could have a camera do that. And that's the challenge of technology, is how do you take that technology and deliver it for the outcome? But I got news for you. Most of those ways are less intrusive than staff support. One last edict is there's commonly a thought out there that you can't use technology to replace staff. Well, that's sort of true and not true, in that if you're in a neighborhood network and you have plenty of staff to meet the needs, that's great, but you don't know when those needs happen or where they're going to be. Technology can still be used to tell you where you need to be and when you don't need to be someplace. So that's not a replacement for staff. That's just leveraging staff to make sure they're only at the right place at the right time. And maybe the last one is everybody needs to know what's being done. You need to know that there is technology in that home and other kinds of things. So Good Life not only helps with the training and the design of the technology and how it's used, but we also help with the service agreements and the legal side of those kinds of work, so that we help people with their policies and procedures and support and the training and all those sort of things. So that's the long and the short answer for privacy. What would we do without technology? Well, we would be living in group homes and congregate care. How can we maximize independence? Well, we can do that better with technology. And if we do that, then that's got to be less intrusive.
Yes. And privacy obviously has always been a priority for iLink. One of the most impressive things I've seen when visiting was technology that our brilliant engineers have designed, is that you're able to actually extract part of a room or even a wall with a picture on it and create a blind spot. And it's highly customizable and individualized, and it affirms further the approach that iLink has, that is not a template approach, but an individual approach.
And it's a relationship-based approach. And I'm going to say one more thing about the design and the software. Properly designed software technology can monitor things, but filter out requests for support or intrusions in ways that no one else, can do. If the stove is on and no one is in the house, well, maybe we should check on that, right? Or if somebody gets up at night and all of a sudden the front door is open after 11 o'clock at night, maybe the guardian wants us to check on that. Software and technology will allow us to filter out the things that we don't need to help with, whereas staffing is just sitting there taking it all in and there whether they're needed or not. And that's intrusive to many, many people. And that's your only approach. The only way to make that affordable is put more people together so they can share that staff person, which then gets you into group homes and assisted living and other kinds of settings.
Yeah. Well, I believe that answers our viewers' questions on privacy. And this concludes this episode. We end 2020, a very challenging year, on a high note. And we will see you in 2021. Thank you, Dr. Strauss.
Thank you. And we're going to be working in 2021 a lot on scheduling and labor and hiring solutions. I'm looking really forward to a fun next series. Thanks, Ivo, for all that you do.
Thank you, Dr. Strauss.